Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Hei. We are going to remind ourselves at the end of yesterday's share, we had a statement from Rav Chisda that his understanding of Shmuel was that whether the Katan who wishes to acquire something is of a certain age, that he, for example, understands the difference between a walnut and a stone and will pick up the walnut and discard the stone, or if he's even a little bit older than that and he has the ability, when somebody gives him something, to understand that it's a temporary gift and that he'll have to give it back. In both of those cases, bein da, so the din is the same, that he's only able to be zoche li atzmo, but ain zoche li acherim. So if Reuven were to try to give this katan of this capacity something on behalf of Shimon, so he wouldn't be able to acquire it on behalf of Shimon, and Reuven could still retract it. That was Rav Chisda's statement. We had tried to prove it wrong yesterday. Rabbi Chanina, who came from the city of Arda, had tried to prove it wrong from the din of Shituf Mavayos, and we had said no, that was a din derabbanan, and therefore the rabbis were able to be makel by a din derabbanan. And then we had asked, why didn't Rav Chinuda from Radoa say that normally when the rabbis make a takana called a tikkun rabbanon, mein daraisa tikkun? So we had said that that is only if there is a din daraisa, but by Shita from Vayas, there is no din daraisa, and therefore it didn't apply. Okay, that's where we left off yesterday. And now the Gemara continues, and we pick up on Samachayim and Aleph, four lines on the top with the word Masir Rav Avya. Rav Avya is going to now question Rav Chisda in a similar way that we questioned him from the Shita of Mavayos. And this is from a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. So Rav Avya said, Marimim al Maaser Sheni. A person can do a harama, a trick, in order that when he redeems his Maaser Sheni, he shouldn't have to pay the premium of a fifth. If you redeem your own produce, so then in addition to paying the principal, you also have to add a fifth, which we have always explained is really a fourth. So let's say you have $100 worth of Maaser Sheni to redeem. If it's your own Maaser Sheni, you have to pay the $100, plus you have to pay a premium. You have to pay a fifth, which is really a fourth. What do we mean? You pay a fourth of the inside, so you'd pay an extra $25 to redeem it, which is now $100 principal plus the $25, which is a fourth, so it's a total of 125. Now that 25 is one-fifth of the total 125. That's where we get the idea of a fifth from. It's a fifth from the outside. It includes the additional redemption that you have to pay with the chamishas, which is really a fourth, but now it becomes a fifth when you look at it from the outside. Okay, if I confused you, no big deal. Right now, that premium, that extra chamishas that you have to go redeem, you can do a trick to get around it, because the din is, if you redeem somebody else's Maaser Sheni, you just pay the principal, and you don't have to pay the fifth. So the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni tells us that a person is halacha l'maisa, allowed to do this trick, marimim Maaser Sheni, if you don't want to pay the extra fifth, even though you're going to eat it yourself in your shalim, but you don't want to have the hassle of having that much money of Maaser Sheni, so you want to just pay the principal and not have to eat on the fifth. Kate said, what should you do? So Omer li Adam, a person should say, livno libito agedolim, ula avdo ushivchoso ivrim. He can tell his adult children, they're above the age of bar and bas mitzvah, and they're not reliant upon his table, so they're a separate entity, or his avid ivri, or his so we can tell them they're separate entities, and he can tell them, listen, I'm giving you the money, I'm giving you the $100. No, you go redeem the Maaser. The Maaser is not yours, so therefore you redeem the Maaser, so now the Maaser is chulin, and this money, this $100, has the status of Maaser Sheni money, and it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and upadu behen Maaser Sheni, you'll go and redeem this Maaser Sheni zeh, and now we have in parentheses, v'ochlo below chomish, meaning that anybody can now eat this without having to eat on the fifth. Now, bedavka, he's giving it to his older son or daughter, or to his trusted Evid Ivri or Amho Evria, because they'll give him back the money. He gave it to them. He wants to get it back. He just doesn't want to have to add on the extra fifth to it. So therefore, he gives it to somebody to trust that Mestamin, they'll give it back to him. That's why he bedavka gives it to his Livno Ulbito Agdolim Ula Avdo Shivchoso Ivrim. Now, the Gemara says, let's look at this. Hai Shivcho Hechidame. We understand the boy and the girl, his son and daughter, are above the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah. They're Gedolim. They're not dependent upon his table. We understand how they could go and do this. They're a totally separate entity. Likewise, his Avid Ivri is a totally separate entity. He's above the age of Bar Mitzvah, Mestama, and therefore he's a separate entity, and therefore there is no Knas over here that they have to go and pay the fifth. However, this Amo Ivriya, this Shivcha, Hai Shivcha Echidami. As we said in yesterday's share, Ida Asibe Saros, if she's 12 years old, then she has Shay Saros, she has pubic hair, so then my boy Gabe, then she automatically goes free with Simonim. And Evid Ivri has to work 6 years. Shay Shonim Yavodu Vashvi, she say Lachav Shi Chinam. So you go free after 6 years, but the Amo Ivriya, she goes free after 6 years if that comes first, or if she becomes a Gedola, she has 12 years of age and Simonim, so then she also goes free. So if you're talking here that this is an adult Amo Ivriya, so How could that possibly be? She should have gone free. My boy Gabe, what's she doing over there still? Obviously, El Olav de lo Asya Besaros. Obviously, she's still a Ketana. She hasn't yet reached the age of maturity, and therefore, nevertheless, a Ketana over here can go and acquire this. That goes against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that the Ketana can't go and acquire this for somebody else. And here, the Ketana is acquiring this money to go and redeem the Kesef, the Maisa Sheni produce, and to redeem it onto this Kesef. So Gemara says, no, Rav Chisda has no problem with this. Why? Because Hochel Ma'iskin, and again, the Ma'iser Bizman Hazeh the Rabbanon. Like we answered yesterday, Shittiv is the Rabbanon, so too the Ma'iser Sheni Bizman Hazeh, Nebuch after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so it's all Mid Rabbanon. Ma'iser Sheni Bizman Hazeh the Rabbanon. Gemara says, whoa, wait a second. If the Ma'iser Sheni is a Din the Rabbanon, because the Yovel and the Beis HaMikdash are no longer in extent right now. Nebuch, I was saying, or Rabbi, Mary Emanuel should return this year, so we spend in Yerushalayim, Tisha B'Av is a holiday, not as a sad day in Galus. So the Gemara says, if the din of Maaser Sheni is only a din de Rabbanon, then Va'amo Avriya B'Zman Hazeh Mi'ika. So then there shouldn't be a din of Amo Avriya, because after all, V'atayin, we learned in a Brisa, Ein Eved Ivri Noeg El B'Zman She Yovel Nogi. The dinim of Eved Ivri and Yovel, which means the dinim of Trumas and Maasers as well, so they're only in existence when you have all of Klai Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. The majority of Klai Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, plus other things such as the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, in this situation, if you're telling me that there's no Maaser Sheni Midaraisa, so then there's no Amo Evriya Midaraisa. So how could we have an Amo Evriya? So what's going on over here? So the Kasha returns to Chisda. We must be talking about Maaser Sheni Daraisa. So therefore, you see clearly that this is not a Din Rabbanan. How did Rav Chisda say that we could have over here the Amo Evriya be Mezakid? And previously he said that the child under the age of Bar Mitzvah can't be Mezakid for somebody else. So that's the question on Rav Chisda. So the Gemara answers no. We are dealing in the times when there is a din of Amo Havriya. So we're dealing in times of Beis HaMikdash. So there is Maaser Midaraisa. But here we're dealing with Ela Ba'atzis Sheino Akov. We're dealing over here with a flower pot that doesn't have a perforation inside of it. And therefore, on a Daraisa level, there is absolutely no Chiv of Trumas HaMaisis. And therefore, there's only Chiv Midirabanan. So this Atzis Sheino Akov only has a din Dirabanan that is Chiv of Trumas HaMaisis. And that's why we could be lenient over here. In a case of Daraisa, Rav Chisda says, no, they wouldn't have the ability, the Katan and Katana wouldn't have the ability to be Zaka with somebody else. But by the Rabbanan, hey mama, hey mama, like we said yesterday, the rabbis set up this din, so therefore they can set it up with any parameters that they want, including to allow a katan or a katana to be mezaka for somebody else. The Ritva asks a very important question over here, and he says, why did we give the case over here, bedavka, of an otzus sheino nokov? Why didn't we give the case, let's say, of produce that's only mechuyev midirabanan? Let's say yerek, vegetables. Everybody agrees that yerek is not mechuyev midirais and trumas of isos. So why do we give the example of an otzus sheino nokov? We could have given the din of vegetables, and it also would have been mites of the rabanan. So the Rashash says the same idea, the Ritva. And they both say that the answer is because an Atzus Sheino Nokov doesn't even have a din at all the Araisa. And therefore, if we were to say, like we normally do, that the rabbis were masaking Kain the Araisa, so by vegetables, where it's based upon the produce that does have a Chiyav the Araisa, so there is Kain the Araisa. So the rabbis would have been masaking in the exact same way there was the Araisa, and they wouldn't have allowed the Katan or Ketana to be Mizaka. But here, this din of Atzus Sheino Nokov has absolutely no din the Araisa. Mid the Araisa, there is absolutely no idea of this having a chiv of Trumas and Maisers. But Atzus Sheino Nokov, therefore there is no din Daraisa, and therefore there is no problem of making the din Ke'ein Daraisa. That's the Ritva, and the Rashash says the same thing. Okay, let's finish off to the Mishnah. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Gimel Midos B'Katan. There are three stages, if you wish, by a Katan, where we have a parallel by a Ketana. So he says, for example, by the Katan, the younger age, Tzoror V'Zorko, the Katan picks up a pebble and says, now this is garbage. Even the Katan realizes it's garbage and throws it away, but he picks up an egg or a walnut and Vinoto, and he keeps it up. That's a good snack to have. So when a boy reaches that age, so Zoche Liatzvo V'Ve Zoche Lachem, we said that he reaches the age where he has this level of das, so he can acquire something for himself. Again, Rashi says midirabanan, the ain zochli acherim, but he can't go and pick this up for somebody else to acquire something for somebody else, like we gave in the case of Reuven were to give this child who's of this capability something to be mezak of Shimon, he wouldn't be able to do so. And the corresponding age of this by a girl, uchenegdon biktana, by a girl would be that miskadeshes lemiyon, that Rechmanu Litzlan, if a girl lost her father passed away, so father was able to be Mekadosh Deraisa, the mother, the older brothers cannot be Mekadosh Deraisa. But the rabbi set up that they can be Mekadosh Midirabanan. And this is a Dirabanan marriage, and the girl has the right to say, listen, I don't want this. She starts off in this marriage, says it's not for me, and she walks away just by doing miyun. She just has to protest and say, I don't want to live with this person anymore, and she goes away. There's no get required. She's the one totally in control until she reaches the age of being a gedola, and then it's a full-fledged marriage. So right now, she can go out just by doing miyun. At what age can a girl like this become married by her mother or by her older brothers? When she reaches the age of tsuar v'zorko, ergos v'notlo, so she reaches that level of das, so then her mother or her older brothers can go and marry her off. And again, that type of marriage is called miskadesh l'slamiyun. She can get married midirabanan, and she can walk away at any time before she's a gedola, just by saying, I refuse to be in this marriage anymore. Okay, so that's the first age that Rava tells us, this age of Tsror, Vizarko, Egos, and Otlo, by a boy and by a girl. Then the next one is Hapu'utos, these are young children, a little bit older than this age of Tsror, Vizarko, Egos, and Otlo, that Mikhon Mechach Umemkor and Mimkor Midrabanan, and this is by Metaltalin, the Metaltalin. The rabbi set up in order for Kedei Chayev, in order they should be able to survive. They could go into a store and buy supper. They go into a store and sell something in order to get money to buy supper. So the rabbi set up that the Mechach Umemkor of a cotton of a certain age. We had several opinions. There was one age who was 6 and 7, there was one age 7 and 8, and one age 9 and 10. There was one opinion that said this is both by a boy, the younger age, and the older age is by the girl for each respective group, 6 and 7, the 7 and 8, and the 9 and 10. Rashi seems to learn otherwise. Rashi just gives the answer will be of 6 to 8. He doesn't bring down the 10. The Rasha says, why does it mention the 10? In any event, this is a certain age that we talked about called Pu'utos. They reach a certain age of Das where we allow their Mekach u'memkar to be a valid Mekach u'memkar. And that's for the boys and also for the girls. But Kenegdom b'nekeva b'nektana, by a girl, the corresponding din would be miskareshes b'kiddushi avia. If her father married her off midaraisa, she's married midaraisa, the father can marry her off midaraisa, but then the father dies. So if the husband still doesn't wish to stay married to this girl anymore, so he can't give it to the father's dead, he can't give the gerushin to the father on behalf of the daughter, who's his wife. But in this situation, once she reaches this age of mekach u'memkron, is considered a valid mekach u'memkar, so then in this situation, she can also accept the get for herself. Her father's Nebuch not alive, so she can accept the get for herself, even though she's married to Raisa, and she's a Ketana. Nevertheless, since technically Midaraisa, there is no reason for her to have Das, we only say Midarabanan that she has to have Das to accept the get, so therefore, the rabbi said that she can accept her get even when she reaches this age, even though she's still a Ketana. That's the second age group. And the third group is Higia La'onas Nedarim, which reaches the age of Nedarim. For a boy, this would be the age of 12. For a girl, they're more mature more quickly, so this would be the age of 11. So the Nedarim and Nedavos that a child makes, if that age, if you check them out and they have Das, so then Nidreim Neder, and likewise, was Vikdeshan Hektish, if they were to Maktish something. So if they have Das, and you check it out, they do have Das, they understand what they did. So at the age of 11 for a girl, the age of 12 for a boy, that's the year, it's called a Samuch Mufla Li'ish. So they have that year before their Bar and Bas Mitzvah, respectively. So their Nedarim on Nedarim, and their Hektish is Hektish. So that's by a boy or by a girl, but here, Kenegdon Biktana, the same din would be by Ktana Choletzes. Now this goes, Rashi tells us, according to din of Rava. Rava says that when a girl reaches the age of 11, she's allowed to go and do Chalitza. This isn't the opinion of everybody. Tosfos goes through a whole discussion. This is Rava only going according to the opinion of one opinion of Rav Yossi. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's the Alib of the Rav Yossi. Others disagree with that, and others give a teretz, which Tosfos says is hard to follow from the wording over here, to say that he says that the age that a girl can do chalitza is 12. It's like the boy at 12, so his nidreim is ned, the vikdesh and hektesh. So that age, the boy at 12, the girl of 12, who's a gedola, is allowed to do chalitza. In any event, that's a difficult to follow with the words, and Tosos and Rashi as well seem to prefer the pshat that it's talking about an 11-year-old. Maybe it's only that some people, not all people, that an 11-year-old girl can in fact do chalitza. Rashi points out that she also have to have simonim, and the simonim have to come after she reaches the age of 11. Otherwise, if they're there before the age of 11, they're just called shuma. It's just called some variant of normal, and it's not considered pubic hairs in terms of the din of making her able to do chalitza. So according to the simple understanding of here, she has to be 11 years old, then get simanim, and she's considered gedola to be able to do chalitza. So that's the third age that Rava gives us. And finally, the Gemara concludes, there's a fourth age as well. There's a special din that the rabbis instituted, even though technically once a boy reaches the age of bar mitzvah, so his mekach u'memkar, midarais is mekach u'memkar, so they added a special din that if it's an inheritance of property from the father, so the rabbis forbade that child, they didn't give him the capacity, they took away his capacity to go sell the ancestral field of his father, because they felt that he would belittle it, they felt that it was easy come, easy go. He got it without having to work for it, so he may not really fully value it, and he may sell it, and then later on, when he reaches a more mature age, above the age of 20, say, oh, I can't believe I sold it for that price that I did, it really should have been sold for much more, or I should have kept on to it, and therefore, the rabbis forbade him to sell the ancestral field until the age of 20, even though min hadin, he could sell it by the age of 13. For all other fields, the rabbis didn't institute such a knas, so to say, such a restriction. And if the 14-year-old boy goes and buys property and sells property, he goes, okay, that's a full valid sale, midaraisa. It's only for the ancestral field, it's only for the field of nichsei aviv that they didn't give him the right to go sell it until he's 20 years old. Okay, now we go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, if a young girl below the age of being able to make a shaliach, so she goes and tells somebody, go and be my shaliach, l'kabbalah, so she doesn't have the ability to do that. So therefore, that shaliach, everybody knows, is not a good shaliach. So the husband who knows that his wife, who's a ketana, can't make a shaliach, and he sees this shaliach coming on behalf of his wife, so he knows that that's not what the purpose of that is. She basically is telling him to go make this person a shaliach lehalacha. So the husband then goes and makes this person a shaliach lehalacha because the wife doesn't have the ability, she's a ketana, to make a shaliach lekabbalah. So in this situation where the wife said, ketana sha'amra, hiskabu ligiti, and then this shaliach comes to the husband basically is making now the shaliach into a shaliach lehalacha on his behalf, which he could do, he's a gadol. So eino get ad sheyagil get liyoda. And therefore, this shaliach is functioning as a get laholacha, shaliach laholacha, and not a shaliach likabala, and therefore the woman is not divorced until this get actually comes into her hands, because she didn't have the power to make the shaliach into a shaliach likabala. The husband made this shaliach into a shaliach laholacha who brought the get to the wife. Once the wife gets it, the wife is divorced. And therefore, lefikach, based upon this, until the wife actually gets the get, the husband can go and retract the gerushin. Under normal circumstances, if this was a shaliach lekabbalah, he wouldn't be able to, but since it's not really a shaliach lekabbalah here, the shaliach is functioning as a shaliach of the husband, because he can function as a shaliach of the minor wife, so therefore, the husband has the right to be chozer on the gerushin if he wishes to. Now, the reason is, the Mishnah tells us, she'ain katan osa shaliach, because this ketana can't make the shaliach. And therefore, in fact, this person wasn't a shaliach for the ketana, but the husband understood what the ketana wanted, that this shaliach should bring her the get, and that's why the husband made him into a shaliach lehalacha. Then the Mishnah continues, however, v'im amar lo avia, but if this father of this ketana was still around, so he were to say to a shaliach, say v'skabal lebiti gita, he makes a shaliach lekabbalah, so the father has the right to do that. The father has the right to accept the get on behalf of his ketana, and therefore he has the right to make a shaliach lekabbalah on behalf of his ketana daughter. So then in that situation, if the husband does give the get to this shaliach, so this is a shaliach lekabbalah, and therefore im rotz lachzor lo yachzor, it's too late. The woman is divorced instantaneously as soon as the shaliach, who's acting as a shaliach lekabbalah, midaraisa, on behalf of her father, who set him up as the shaliach lekabbalah, so therefore the husband has divorced his wife as soon as this shaliach gets the get, and therefore im rotz lachzor lo yachzor, he can't retract. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us, Homer tain get ze liishti b'makom ploni, if the husband says to the shaliach, go and give this get to my wife in a specific place, b'makom ploni, he specifically is makbid on sending this get to this wife in such and such a place, and therefore if the shaliach goes and gives it to her someplace else, it's not a valid get. If the shaliach didn't listen to the husband's instructions and gave this get, he was told to give the get in New York, and instead he gave her the get in Philadelphia, possible. this would not be a valid get because, as Rashi points out, the husband was makbid. In Dibur Masu Pasul, the ein ritzono. It isn't the husband's wish. She'alizu alav shom ukpeidehi. The husband doesn't want them talking about him. He said, I want them in New York. In New York, everybody knows me. He said, they're not going to give me a hard time. In Philadelphia, nobody knows me. They're going to say, whoa, so-and-so divorced his wife. He must be a bad person. They're going to all talk about him. He doesn't want them talking about him. So he's makbid that the shaliach should only divorce her in New York. And therefore, if the shaliach goes and divorces her someplace else, it's not a valid shlichus. That's Rashi's understanding. The Tosus Rid on Samachay Omud Beis gives us a slightly different reason. The Tosus Rid says, Ki Uchafetz, this is the first of the wide lines of the Tosus Rid on Samachay Omud Beis. He says that Pirish, that to have a kepeda, the husband is makbid, Ki Uchafetz Levazosa Beosamachom. The husband specifically wants to embarrass her. All of her family lives in New York, and he wants everybody there to know, hey, your relative got divorced. Not necessarily the husband's a nice guy, but that's why he's makbid. I want her divorced. Well, everybody's going to know her and say, whoa, so-and-so's divorced. Oh, that poor lady. Oh, everybody's going to know that she's divorced. As opposed to Philadelphia, nobody knows her, so it's not going to be an embarrassment. He bedafka, the Tosfos Rid says he wants to embarrass her. And therefore, both the husband, in like Rashi, or like Tosfos Rid, is makbid to bedafka, divorce her in this place, and therefore, nesana lo b'makom acher posel, the get's not a valid get if the shliach didn't listen and follow the husband's instructions because the husband was makbid, either like Rashi or like the Tosfos Rid. However, harei hi b'makom ploni, if the husband said to the shliach, give this get to my wife, I think she's in New York. I think she's there. No, and then he doesn't find her in New York, he finds her in Philadelphia. And he gives it to her in Philadelphia, kasha. That's okay, because the husband wasn't makbid, give it in New York. He said, give this get to my wife. I think she's in New York, try there. No, she's not there. Then go to Philadelphia, go try someplace else. So here, there's no kepeda. He doesn't want to worry about yalizu alav, he's not worried about being mavazer, he just wants to divorce her. So in this situation, the get is a kasha get, because he wasn't makbid on the specific place. Vice versa, similarly, Ha'isha Sha'amra, if the woman says, Hiskaba li giti b'makom ploni, she tells her, Shaliach li kabbalah, I want you to go and accept my get for me. However, I only want you to accept the get in New York. Don't accept it anyplace else. And then, the Shaliach, the kibbalah of makom acher, she told him, only accept the get in New York. And he went and accepted the get in Philadelphia. So the Tanakhama says, Pasul, just like with the husband, the wife has the same ability. According to the Tanakhama, Pasul, she did not make him a shliach lekabbalah, except in New York. If he went and accepted any place else, such as in Philadelphia, so it's not a valid acceptance. He was not a shliach for that, and therefore she's not divorced. However, Rabbi Elazar says, no, this is a valid get. Why? Because the Mefarshim explain, in this situation, Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara is going to tell us, Rabbi Elazar says that she technically doesn't require das. So it's only a suggestion on her part, so to say, to give it to the shliach to accept it in New York and not Philadelphia. The husband can give it to her wherever she wants. So if this is a shliach lekabbalah, and the husband gave it to her in Philadelphia, so then this is in fact a good kabbalah, because it's up to the husband and it's not up to the wife. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds that even if the shliach was told to accept in New York, it's really only a suggestion, but it's not makpida. She doesn't have the right to be makpida because technically he can divorce her against the will. So therefore, if he gave it to someone that she accepted as a shliach, even though she said, I only want in New York, Rabbi Elazar holds it's acceptable, makshir, it's a kosher get, even if he took it in Philadelphia. However, if she goes and tells the shliach, go and bring me my get from, let's say, Philadelphia to New York, and he brought it to her from another place, so then, nevertheless, that is a kosher get, even according to the Tanakhama. And what's the understanding over here? Because she can't make a shliach laholacha. He is really the only one that can make the shliach laholacha. She can't make a shliach laholacha. That would involve lots of problems, which we'll see when we get to the Tosfos on Amud Beis. We'll discuss what the problems are. But in any event, since she can't make a shliach laholacha, she's basically saying, no, try to get the get in New York. But if you get the get in Philadelphia, it's acceptable as well. So when you bring it to New York, that's when it'll be chal. But you can get the get any place. So when she said, go get me the get from New York, but he brought it to her to New York from accepting it in Philadelphia, so it is a bottom line, a kosher get. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar, Maishna Reisha de Lopolug, Maishna Sefer de Lopolug. Why did Rabbi Elazar not argue on the Reisha? In the Reisha, he said that if the husband is Machbid, so then the husband has the right to be Machbid. But he says if the wife is Machbid, Rabbi Elazar says the wife doesn't have the right to be Machbid. I've already given the answer to this, but the Gemara asks the question, Maishna Reisha de Lopolug, Rabbi Elazar doesn't argue, and he says the husband can be Machbid, and therefore it's not a kosher get if he gave it in Philadelphia instead of in New York, whereas in the Sefer, he is arguing with the Tanakhama and says that she doesn't have the right to be Machbid. So the Gemara says, because Ihu the Midaite Megarish Kopit, because the husband who's the one who has to give the get, so he can be Machbid. I only want it to be here and not over there. Whereas by the case of the wife, I the Baal Karcha Miskareshis Midaraisa, a wife can be divorced against the will. Again, Mid the Rabban and the Rabbi set up that a wife can't be divorced against the will. But nevertheless, since on a Daraisa level, she can be divorced against the will, so Marimokum Hilo. So she's really basically saying the Shaliach l'Kabbalah, my husband is probably in New York. No, but if he's in Philadelphia, you can still act as my Shaliach l'Kabbalah. So that's the difference, according to Rabbi Elazar, between why the husband is Machbid and the wife can't be Machbid. Okay, next Mishnah. If the woman is married to a Kohen, Nebuch, they need to get divorced. So the Kohen wants to divorce his wife. So a Kohen's wife is allowed to eat Truma. So until when? So if the Kohen's wife says to somebody, go and bring me my get. Now again, she can't go and make a shliach l'holocha. Only the husband can make a shliach l'holocha. She can only make a shliach l'kabbalah. So in this situation, she's basically saying to this person, go to my husband, have my husband designate you as a shliach l'holocha, and then bring it to me. So there is no shliach l'kabbalah over here. So in this situation, she basically is making a suggestion that her husband should go and choose this person to be the shliach l'holocha. And if the husband does that, and he, in fact, the shliach then brings her to get, so she's allowed to eat truma, ocheles v'truma, at shegiyah get liyada. She's still 100% validly married to this kohen until this shliach, who's now a shliach l'holocha on behalf of the husband, actually brings her the get and she takes it from him. So at shegiyah get liyada, she's allowed to eat truma. However, if she told somebody, be my shaliach l'kabbalah, that she has the right to do. Hiskaba l'giti. So then, the minute the shaliach leaves the shtad, so we know at that point in time, maybe the husband gave him the get right outside the city. We have no idea when the husband's going to give him the get. So asur lecho b'truma miyad. So as soon as he leaves her presence, she no longer has the right to eat truma, because maybe the husband got the get to the shaliach, and now, since he's a shliach l'kabbalah, boom, at that moment she's divorced. If she's divorced, so she's no longer allowed to eat truma. This is, of course, assuming that she doesn't have any children that are kohanim. So assuming that's the case, she's not entitled to eat because of her children, so then the minute her shliach l'kabbalah accepts the get on her behalf, so she can't eat truma. And since we don't know when that will occur, because he's not in the same city with her, he's not with her, so therefore she has to stop eating truma the minute he leaves her presence. Okay, asur lecho b'truma miyad. She can't eat truma anymore. Now, if she told the shaliach, hiskabu l'giti b'mokum ploni, she tells the shaliach, I want you to go and accept the get for me, but I want you to go and accept it for me in New York. So then, ocheles b'truma, achi agia get li'osu mokum. So then she is allowed to go and continue to eat truma for the period of time that it takes for this shaliach l'kabbalah to get to New York. Let's say it takes 2 days, so it's going to take 2 days for him to get to New York, so therefore, for the next 2 days, she can still eat truma. But once 2 days have gone by, so maybe he's in New York, and maybe the husband gave him the get, so therefore, he would function as a shliach l'kabbalah at that point in time, so from 2 days to now, she can no longer eat truma. Now here too, we're going to have a different opinion. Now, before I called him Rabbi Elazar, on the side, the Masos HaShas says it's Rabbi Eliezer. Here it just says Rei Shalev, so it's either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer. Mistama, it's the same person, the same Tana as before, whoever it was, Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer. Sometimes we have the words actually written out, Rabbi Elazar, so that's why I said Rabbi Elazar, but some have the gear so it's Rabbi Eliezer. In any event, whoever this Rebbe was, either Rebbe Eliezer or Rebbe Elazar, the Tana, he says over here too, Oser Miyad. He says, no, even in this situation, similar to the reason he said before, since she's only really giving a suggestion, and maybe the husband actually is going to give it to her right outside the city, instead of waiting for the shliach to get to New York, the husband is going to meet up with him right away and say, hey, here's the get. So technically, he can give it Baal Karcha. So therefore, even though she told the shliach to go accept the get in New York, so it doesn't work that way, she can't be Makpida, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar, he says, Oser Miyad. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, bottom line is, based upon the Tanakhama in our Mishnah over here, which we'll call the Sefer, so Vegito Miyahave, it certainly is a get, once her Shaliach reaches that place, so even though he got it in Philadelphia, and she said she wants it in New York. So when he does get the get in Philadelphia, and he does bring it to New York, the Tanakhama says that she, in fact, is Megureshes. It's a valid get. But wait a second, we just had in the previous Mishnah, which we'll call the Reisha, this Mishnah we just did, we're calling the Sefer, the previous Mishnah we just did, we're calling the Reisha, Varmus Reisha, we said before, Lo Avigita, it's not a valid get in that situation. She was Makpida, that she'd only get in New York. How come in the Sefer, we say it's a valid get, even though she got it in Philadelphia? So Gemara explains, no, Lo Tzricha, the two cases are different. What we're calling the Reisha, the previous Mishnah, and our current Mishnah are two different cases. Here we're dealing with the Amrulei, she said to the Shaliach, Hiskabaligito b'mosa mechasya, I want you to go and accept the get for me in Mosa mechasya. Is a specific place. That's like New York. Okay? However, she also then added, Vizimnin de Mishkachel Slei Bevovel. Sometimes my husband, however, is not in Masa Machas. He's not in New York. He sometimes goes off on a business trip to Bevel, to Philadelphia. And therefore, she basically saying, I'm not Makpida. And therefore, when she's not Makpida, V'hochi Konle, this is what she's telling him. Mishkol, I want you to go and bring the get to me from Philadelphia to New York. But kol hecha the mishkach slay shak lamine. But wherever you get it from him, that's okay. I want you to get the get in New York. That's when it should be chal. It should be chal when you're in New York. However, I don't want you not to get it earlier, so you could get it in Bavel. Now Bavel over here refers to the city of Bavel. There's a state of Bavel and a city of Bavel. It's like New York City and New York State. So there are two different ways you can refer to Bavel, either the general area or to a more specific area. So Mustama here, it's referring to the more specific city of Bavel, not the state or the region of Bavel. In any event, that's why in the Mishnah it said, Havilagiti Mokum Ploni, Ve'ilom Mokum Acher, it is kosher even according to the Tanakhama. Now we turn to Samachei Omer Beis, because the Gemara continues and says, Gita lochazi ademotis lamas mechasya. And the Gemara adds now that the get only takes effect, however, when it does reach mas mechasya, because according to Tanakhama, she was makpida. But the difference is that she wasn't so makpida that he couldn't accept it in Philadelphia, but she only wants the get to take effect when the shaliach reaches mas mechasya. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, again, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, we'll call Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Osir Miyad. Rabbi Elazar, he goes and says, it's Osir Miyad, the minute the Kohen's wife's Shaliach goes and leaves her, so even though she was Makpida about the location, we say, Rabbi Elazar, Lishitaso, as he said in the previous Mishnah, no, that the husband can divorce her Baal Karcha, and therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe the husband found her right away, and therefore you don't wait until the distance that it would take the shliach to get to Mas Mechasya or to New York, but she is immediately no longer able to eat truma. She's considered potentially divorced right away. What's this pshito? We already learned this. The whole Mari Makum Hilo. We already said that basically the wife is essentially saying, go try to find my husband in that place. Ms. Thumma, that's where he is. But it's not that she can be Makbida because the husband can divorce about Karakhoi Dari Lezer, Rabbi Elazar. So why do we have two Mishnayis telling us this? So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. We need the second Mishnah because the Amra Lei, Zil Lemizrach, the Isiv Mizrach. Because if the wife told the Shaliach, go to the east, I think that's where my husband is. The Ka'azul Amarv. And the Shaliach disobeyed her. The Shaliach went to the west. Mao the Tema might have said, Bimarev ho leise. You might have said that her husband is not in the west, and therefore the shliach is going in the wrong direction, and maybe she should still be able to eat truma, because there's no way the husband's over there. Kamash v'lan, no, we have to be concerned. Dilma v'hadidik ozil, mikas goyisbe. Maybe as he was going west, he did meet up with the husband, v'yov legita, and maybe gave her the gets. Even though he's going in the wrong direction. She says, my husband's over there in the east, and she sees him going to the west. So you might have thought she's still allowed to eat chumah. So the answer is no. Maybe the husband met up with him, albeit it's unlikely, and we have to be concerned about that, and she can no longer eat chumah. That's why you need both Mishnayis to tell us this din. Then the Mishnah tells us, we have a similar din in regard to an Erev Tuchumim. Erev Tuchumim, to remind everybody, went through all of Erevin, and we discussed this in greater detail. So an Erev Tuchumim is a person says, I want to extend my Tchum Shabbos in one direction, let's say 2,000 amos. So I want to hear the shear in the other area, and it's 4,000 amos away. I can't get there with my own Tchum Shabbos, which is 2,000 amos. So I'll make my focal point to be 2,000 amos to the right of my city. So I put food over there. The food is there during the Bein HaShemesh period of time, and that's my focal point. Even though I'm not there, my food is there, and therefore that's my focal point. I go 2,000 to the left of that food, which gets to where I am right now, and then I can go an additional 2,000 amos to the right of that food. So in other words, I can go 4,000 amos from where I am, which is more than you normally would be able to go. But because of this din of Erev Tuchumim, you can reach 4,000 amos away. Now, a person tells the shliach, "Homer lishlucho, ariv libitvorm. I want you to put the food out there to be my erev techumim. I want you to do it bedavka with dates, with tomorrow." And the shliach doesn't take dates, but erev lo begrogros. For whatever the reason, he uses dried figs. Okay, or vice versa. Begrogros. The person tells him, "I want the shliach you to go make my erev techumim with grogros, with dry figs." And instead, the shliach went the erev lo betvarim. He made it with dates. So what's the din? So, surprisingly, we have two different answers. In one braisa, where they pose this question, Tani Chada Eruva Eruv, the Tani Idach Ein Eruva Eruv. We have two braisas that give two different answers. One braisa says, the answer is it's a perfectly good Eruv Techumim, even though the Shliach did opposite of what he was asked. And the rabbi says, no, since the Shliach didn't do what he was asked to do, it's not a good Eruv. What's going on over here? So we have two terutzim. The first one is Rabba. I'm a Rabba. Rabba says, Lokasha, this is exactly our discussion over here. Ha Rabbanan, the Tanakama, Ha Rabbi Elazar. This is the exact machlokas. The Rabbanan say that you are makbid, and therefore, if you're makbid, then it should be bedavka with dried figs, and he used dates, or you were makbid to use the dates, and he used dried figs, it's no good. So too, that's the din of the Tanakama, that the man or the woman can be makbid or makpida, and therefore, it is not a valid get, it's not a valid erev techumim. And the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is, no, we're not makbid on this. So therefore, the Erev is okay, according to Rabbi Elazar, because grows tomorrow, it doesn't make any difference. He just wanted him to set up an Erev Techumim. That's Rabbah's answer. Now, the opinion of the Rabbanan, we go and explain this a little bit more. Ha Rabbanan, the Amrik Peda. The Rabbanan, as I just said, is the Shita that you're Machbid. So therefore, you wanted Bedafka grows, or you wanted Bedafka Tvarim. If you did the opposite, it's not a good Erev. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Ha Rabbi Elazar, the Amma Marim Akabilo, it was just a suggestion. I want you to go do it. No, why don't you do it with dates? But if you do it with things, it's fine. If you do it with things, I wanted dates, no big deal. So he's not Machbid. So that's Rabbah's Teretz, the first Teretz, that there's two different opinions in the two braises. One opinion that says it's good, that's going according to Rabbi Elazar. And the opinion that says it's no good, that goes like the Tanakhama, like the Chacham. A second teretz is from Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Amar, no, both braises go according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Ha, baha, the Rabbanan. There is a concept of makbid. But why in one braise is the Erev Techum good, the other braise in the Erev Techum is not good? Because it depends whose food it is. Ha, baha, Rabbanan. They're both talking about the opinion of the Rabbanan. But kan bishalow, in the first braise, which says that it's a good Erev Techumim, so the person who sent the shaliach owned both the grogros and he owned the tmarim. And therefore, either of them is his food. And therefore, the shaliach is not going and putting somebody else's food out there for him. He's putting his food out there, whether it's grogros or whether it's tmarim. So it's perfectly good. Whereas the other braisa that says it's no good, ein eruv o eruv, kan bishol chavero. The chaver had said, yeah, you can use my dried figs, my grogros, to make your eruv. But he didn't get permission to use tamarim, so if the shaliach took tamarim, so then he didn't have the right to. And that's why it's no good, and vice versa. If the person said, yeah, you can use my tamarim, and instead he took his grogros, he didn't have the permission to take the grogros, and that's why the second braisa says, ein eruvo eruv. That's Rabbi Yossi's teretz. Oh, Abaye doesn't like Rabbi Yossi's teretz. He says, wait a second, Eloha de Tanya, but what about the following braisa? We learn, Ha'omer lushlucho, orili v'migdol, v'irev lo b'shovach. If, again, a similar situation, a person told the shliach, listen, I want you to go make an erev techumim for me, and he tells him, go make it in my migdol, in my tower, in my certain place, and instead he made it to him in his dovecote, in his shovach, the place where he has his pigeons. Or vice versa, he told him to make it in the shovach, b'shovach, v'irev lo b'migdol, and he made it in the migdol. So again, we have two braises over here. The Tanya Chad, Eruv Eruv, the Tanya Idoch, and Eruv Eruv. So again, we have two answers over here. One braisa says it's a good Eruv if he mixed it up, if Shalich mixed up and put it in the dovecote instead of the tower, or the tower instead of the dovecote, and the other braisa says it's not a good Eruv. Now, there, Hasam, my Shalom Shachaverika. There, it's not talking about that it was somebody else's grogros, somebody else's Tainim. Here, it's his dovecote and his tower. So why does one braisa say, if it's not a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar, he's saying it's both ha b'ha the Rabbanan, so then why should it be one braisa acceptable Erev and the other braisa not acceptable Erev? So he says, no, it's the same answer, Hasam Nami. There too, Rabbi Yosef would answer that Ika peri de Migdal u peri de Shovach. You're talking about the fruit in the Migdal, the fruit in the Shovach. That belonged to somebody else. So therefore, if it was somebody else, he only had the right to do it in the Migdal. He didn't have the right to do it in the Shovach, or vice versa. He only had the right to do it in the Shovach. He didn't have the right to do it in the Migdal. And therefore, it is again exactly the same as the first scenario, where it was Tamarim and Grogros. That's the same thing over here with the Shovach and the Migdal. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Homer, if a man tells some people that are standing there, do me a favor, go write a get for my wife and give it to her. Homer, kiss will get ishti, utunu ishti, and go and give it to my wife. So he does the full pronouncement, go and write the get, and go and give the get, which is a perfectly valid way to go divorce his wife, Rechman Lutzan, if that should be needed. Or he tells him, Gershua, go and divorce my wife for me. Or he says, kissu igeres utunula, since the gerishin, the get, is also referred to as a igeres shvukin, as Rashi points out. So therefore, it's called an igeris. So in any of these lashonos, where he says either kisu geru tnuli ishti, or he says gershua, go and divorce my wife for me, or kisu igeris tnula, all of these are valid lashonos of the husband telling the shlichim to go write the get and give it to his wife. And in all three of these cases, the people were authorized to go and write a get and to go give it to the wife, and the wife will in fact be divorced. This is a kosher divorce. However, if he just used the lashon of patrua, go and, quote, free her. Now, what does that mean? Free her from what? It doesn't mean necessarily free her from marriage. It can mean free her from debts that she has. Or panasua, go and support her. In other words, he's telling her to go and divorce her and give her a ksuba, or he's saying, just go and support her. Nothing to do with gerishin. Or he says, asu lo kanimus. Do for her as Rashi says, kanimus means as the chok, as is the custom. So Rashi adds, lo yadina, ichok get, does he mean do like the get process? Or ichok mazon uksus, or go and support her with food and clothing. V'chein karai, and that's the same thing with all the others over here. Or he says, asu lo karai, do for her as is needed. So that isn't the lashon of gerishin, lo amar klum. He didn't say anything in that situation. The simple understanding is it's not even a suffix get. There are some that suggest it is a suffix get, but the simple understanding is, no, it's invalid. It's as if he didn't say anything, and the wife is still 100% his wife. Again, some suggest that it's a suffix gerishin, but the simple understanding is that it's not. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned very similar to our mission, the following brisa. If you use the lashon of shalchua, he told the people, go and send my wife away, or shivkua, where he says, go and get her away from me. Shivkua means to abandon her. Rashi says this is a lashon of igeris shivukin. So shachua, Rashi says, is a lashon of the shilcha. These are both valid lashonos. Shachua and shivkua are valid lashonos of gitin or tarchua. Since the get, Rashi says, is also known lashon teruchin is gerishin. So these are all valid lashonos of gerishin. So the Braisa tells us if he uses any of these lashonos, shachua or shivkua or tarchua, so are elu yichtavu yidnu. These are valid authorizations to the edim to go and write the get and give it to the wife and divorce her. However, the Braisa says that's only in these situations. But if he uses the lashon of patrua, now in the Mishnah we had said patrua is not a valid lashon. So here the Braisa agrees with that. Or parnesua, the Braisa says go and support her. Or asulo kinimus, or do gufer as is the chok. Or otzoloi kurai. So these are very similar to the Mishnah. Lo amar klum. So these again are as if he said nothing. That's a simple understanding. She is not even a suffix divorced. Now, we have another brisa, Tanya. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson disagrees with this first brisa as well as the Mishnah. Rabbi Nosson is a Badli, as we'll see, and he was very medactic on the Aramaic language. And therefore, Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, if you use the lashon of patruha, dvar kayamin, that means go and divorce her. But if you use the lashon of pitrua, that should say that she is in a situation of being released. But it doesn't say released from what? Lo amar klum. So Rabbi Nosson, who's a Bavli, right? Rabbi Nosson a Bavli, so he's very medactic in the Aramaic language. So he says if you use the word patrua, that is a valid lashon of gerishin. Pitrua is not a valid lashon of gerishin. So that seems to go against the Braisa and our Mishnah. So Amar Rava says, Rabbi Nosson de Bavloihu, this is Rabbi Nosson a Bavli, he's a Babylonian, v'diek bein pitrua lepatrua. So he's medayik in these words because pitrua is a Hebrew word and patrua is an Aramaic word. So he makes a distinction between the two. Whereas the Tana Didan, who's the Bar Eretz Yisrael, the Tana the first Braisa, the Tana the Mishnah, they're both Eretz Yisrael nicks, so therefore they don't make any distinction between patrua and pitrua, lo dayik. And therefore they say across the board it is not a valid lashon of gerishin. Yibailu, they asked the Beis Medrash the following Shaila, Hotziyuha Mahu. What happens if the husband uses the lashon of hotziyuha? Rashi explains that do we say miyamrinu lishna dekra? This is the language that the pasuk uses. V'yotza mi beiso, and therefore it's a language of gerushin. Odumu, maybe not. Lav lishna dekra. It's not a language of the chumash. The lo kaso votzia mi beiso ela v'yotza he miyatzmo. So there's a difference between her leaving on her own and him sending her out. So we don't know, is this lashon votzia a valid lashon of gerushin or not? Similarly, izvua mahu. If you use the lashon of izvua, Rashi explains lashon igerish shivukin. Or do we say odomo kivin the lo lashon aziva kasvinon beget lav lishna degitu? Since we don't actually write the word azvua in the get, it's not a valid lashon degerishin. So therefore, we don't know. So hutziyah we don't know, izvua we don't know. What about hatirua? Rashi explains: is this a lashon of being matir her to other men, and therefore it's a lashon degerishin? Or does it mean matir her nedarim? What about hanichua mahu? Leave her alone. So what is that? So we don't have the answer to that either. It could mean one of two things. It could mean that she's either divorced or she's not divorced. What about ho'ilu law? Do for her as is needed. So, mahu, is that a lashon of gerushin or not? Asula, kados, go do for her like the din demands. Mahu, what does that mean? So, we don't really know the answer to any of them. The Gemara says at least, pshot miya chod. Let us at least go and answer the last one. The last one was asula kados, because the Tanya, we have a brisa that says, if the husband said, asu lo kidas, or he says, asu lo kinimus, do like the chok, do like the das, do like the chok, or asu lo karai, do as you're supposed to, so none of these are valid lashonos of gerushin. They're too possible to interpret them in many different ways, they're too vague, and therefore, lo amar klum, the simple understanding is he didn't say anything, and she's not even a safek gerusha. Let's start the next mishnah ready. Barishona yomrim, originally, the Chazal said only the first part of this Mishnah, and then subsequently they added on the other part. So originally said, Hayotze b'kolo, if a man goes out in chains, a kolo literally is like a chain around his collar, and this was only done, Nebuch, when they were going to go, le'yorig l'malchus, the person was going to be executed by the government, so Rashi explains, that's what it means, Hayotze b'kolo. So this person is obviously in a very bamboozled state, he's about to be killed, and he doesn't want his wife to be in Aguna, maybe they wouldn't find his body or know what they did to him, he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam, so he says to the people there, v'yomar, kisu get lishti, go right again for my wife, but he doesn't say utnu. So they have the right, since they can assume he's bamboozled, they have the right to go write it and give it to her while he's still alive, can't give it after his death, so they have the right to write it and give it to her before they actually execute this person, because that's what he meant, and he was just too bamboozled to think it through, so he told him to write again, he didn't say to give it, but he meant to give it as well. Subsequently, the sage says, in other situations as well, Chacham said, if a person's going off out to the Yam, so it's a dangerous thing, and he's also bamboozled, he's very nervous about the trip, or he's going on a caravan into the desert and it's dangerous, so he doesn't want his wife to be in Aguna, he doesn't want his wife to fall into Yibum, so he goes and tells him also, go write a get for my wife, but he doesn't say Yichtabu V'yidnu, so that also, Chazul Omar, this also, the din applies, we can assume he's bamboozled, and he didn't mean to just write the get, he meant to also give the get, and you can give it. And finally, Rav Shimon Shazuri adds Omer, Afa Mesukan. Rashi explains that Mesukan means somebody who's sick. Doesn't tell us how sick he is, but obviously the person is sick enough that there's a chashash that he's going to die. So obviously we're concerned that he's bamboozled over here too, and therefore he doesn't have the wherewithal to say, go and write the get and give it. So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, we can assume that that's what he meant, go and give the get to my wife. Not only write it, but go and give it. Gemara starts off and tells us about Geneva. Geneva, we've had already many times, this is Masechta. He got into a fight with Marukva, and here in this story, they're about to Nebuch go and execute him for whatever happened. We don't have the full story over here, but in some reason, Geneva is now about to be executed. So as they're taking him out to be executed, Geneva Yotze Bekola Hava, they're taking him out to be executed in these chains around his neck, and Kihava Konofik Omar, as he was leaving the Beis Din over there, the courts, where they were going to sentence him to death, so he announced to everybody, Havu Arba Meazuzi L'Rabbi Avina. I owe Rabbi Avina 400 zuz. He didn't make any sort of a kidding over here, but this would be somewhat like the Divrei Shchiv Mira, and he says, go and give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina, Mechamra the Nahar Panya. I have where you should give him this money from. I have wine in a place called Nahar Panya. And this is Rashi says, Miyayin Shiashli, go take the 400 zuz from that wine. Sell some of that wine that I have in Nahar Panya and take 400 zuz of it and give it to Rabbi Avina. Amr Rezeira, Rezeira said, and we turn to Samach Vavam and Aleph, Dora Rabbi Avina Lesilte. Rashi explains, Yiton Rabbi Avina Salo Akseifo. He should go and take his basket on his back, on his shoulders. Limazon is up to put food in it. Lahotsa said there for the food that he's going to eat on the road. And Yelech lo itzer Rafuni. She go to ask Rafuni, his Rabbi, Rabbo, ki al piv ushmu asav yiske b'matone belokinya. And this way, he'll figure out, Rafuni will know, based upon what Rafuni's shita is, he'll know that, in fact, he'll be able to collect the 400 zuz from the wine that Gvina had in the Nahar Panya. So that's what he did. For Azal, he told him, Dari Rabbi Avina Lisote, he told him that Rabbi Avina should go and take, this is what Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Avina, go and take over here this food for the road, and go to your Rabbi Rav Huna Rabbe, the Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna holds, Gito Kematan also, that a get has the same din as a matana. What do we mean over here? Ma matana im amad chozer. So, av gito im amad chozer. In all of these situations, he holds that the matana has the same rules as a get. And this person is on his deathbed or he's about to be killed. So, the matana is only meant to be a matana if in fact the person dies. The get's only supposed to be a get if in fact the person ends up dying, because he didn't want his wife to be an aguna, he didn't want his wife to have to fall in Yibam. But if he doesn't get executed, in Ahmad, so then the gift is never a full gift. It was only a matana, basically assuming that he would die. So too, the get is only considered a get if the guy dies. So then, the get was given while he was alive, so it's a valid get. But if he doesn't die, they stay his execution, they give him a reprieve, they give him clemency, so then the woman is not divorced. Imamad chozer, so therefore, the get is not considered a valid get. That's Rav Huna's shita. No, that's the opinion of Rav Huna, but Rav Zeira himself says that that should apply over here to Geneva's gift to Rabbi Avina. He said, Uma Gito, this get over here, Avogav de lo parish, even though he didn't specify it should be given, he just said Yichtavu, he didn't say Yidnu, so Kivin Dar Makisu, Avogav de lo matnu, since he's bamboozled, we say, since he obviously meant it should be written and given, so we can add in the words given, so to Av Matanoso, so to with a gift, that in this situation, when a person says, I want you to take $400 and give it to the person, so the Gavina said to give it to Rabbi Avina, he said, go and give it, so Avo got the low economy, even though there was no Kenyan, so that's why Mestama, Rav Huna, will agree that you'll be able to get the money. However, Maskevlo, Rabbi Abba disagreed. Rabbi Abba said, no, Ima Matona Yesh L'Yach HaMisa. Wait a second, a Matona can take place after Misa. If the Matona Shchivira isn't yet given, we say it's Kiksuvin Umisurin Domi, because we don't want the person who's Nebuchadnezzar's deathbed to be concerned about it, so he can know, oh, I just said it, and it's in his hands, and now it's not going to make him anxious and going to precipitate his death in any way. So a matana can be given after Misa. So af get, yesh l'ach Misa, can the get take place after the death? No. So the ksiva and the nesina has to be before his death. So how are these two comparable? Skumar says, Rav Zeira would say, Hachi Hashi, no, your comparison is no good. Bishlam matana isa l'ach Misa. Yeah, a matana can take place after death. El get l'ach Misa mika, but a get can take place after death. So therefore, that's why the get doesn't take place. But the principle is correct. So you're right, it won't technically be able to take place over here, but the principle is correct. And therefore, Elo Rabbi Abba Hachi Kukashle. So Rabbi Abba's question was as follows. Matonos, matna shchivmira, b'miktsasi. A matona shchivmira can never be a matona of some of the property. Because if he's going to die, he's going to give away everything. So therefore, matona shchivmira b'miktsasi. This would be a matona of only part of his property. Or matna shchivmira b'miktsas by a kinyan. And that does require a kinyan. So therefore, who says that Rav Huna would agree that Gvina's gift to Rabbi Avina was in fact a good gift? And where it says, Miklal, the Rav Huna, Sava, Lo, Boy, Kinyan. That would imply that Rav Huna doesn't require a Kinyan over here. For Kaim, Lo, the Boy, Kinyan. But we do say that he does require a Kinyan. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference over here. Shiny Hocha. When Geneva said, give this $400 to Rabbi Avina, the mitzvah machmas misahi, the reason why he's telling him to do this, he's about to die. And in that situation, even though it's only a partial transfer, it's not all of his wealth, that's why it's a mitzvah to go and listen to what he said to do. Normally we say when you're Mishai something, so you have to make a kinyan. But here, you wouldn't have to go make a kinyan because Shayo Yodeya, Shayotzi B'Kolar, ain't a chozer. Because here it's clear he's not coming back. There's no doubt about it. Anybody that goes out with the Kolar, so he's going to be executed by the government. And therefore, the Gemara questions and says, wait a second. Mechlal, the Rabbi Abba Savar, Mitzvah, Machas, Mitzvah, by a kinyan. So then that would imply the Rabbi Abba says that you do require a kinyan, even though it's the case of going out with a kolar, so he would require still that you make a kinyan. But kaimalon, the law by kinyan. But doesn't everybody hold that you don't need a kinyan? So Mor says you're right. El Rabbi Abba, Hachi Kukashli. This is Rabbi Abba's question. Chamro lo kamar. Gvina did not say give wine that was worth 400 zuz. Deme chamro lo kamar. He also didn't say give him the value of the wine of 400. He said me chamro kamar. He said give him 400 zuz from the wine. And that, we don't understand what he meant. As Rashi says, Mechamakomar, Zuze Mechamakomar, the Nisvu Le, the Chi Osin Mos Meyayin. Do you make money out of wine. So it was the unclear language that Abba was questioning. No, why would Rav Huna say that it does work? Vidach then, it's true, it's an unclear language. So Gemara says, Rav Huna would say, Mechamra means Kidei Eliyafos is Kocho. That gave him more power over here. That in fact, he was willing to take all of the wine to go and make this 400 zuz if that was necessary. And as Rashi says, Lekach lo pirish, lo zu v'lo zu, Kidei Eliyafos is Kocho. This language of Mechamra is a stronger language than if he had just said Chamra or he said the Mechamra. Mechamra means it strengthens his she'elo kol hayayin. If it makes all of the 400 zuz to come from all the wine, so all of the wine is going to be achroi for that. Mechamra is kidei liyafos is kocho. Finally, how do we paskin shoch b'tam? They sent from Eretz Yisrael. Mechamra kidei liyafos is kocho. Exactly like Rav Huna said, that is in fact the answer. Okay, we went pretty far, but it's a good breaking point over here by the Mishnah. With this, we conclude today's share.